You are now listening to Shotgun Sports, powered by Winchester. Recorded in the U.S. and streaming all over the world, we talk to shotgun shooters from all disciplines, world-class instructors, gun clubs, target setters, vendors, and industry-leading companies that fuel the sport. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast, leave us a review, and connect with us on social media. You can also catch our episodes on ShotgunSportsUSA.com.
If you or your club are looking to purchase Pro-Matic traps, make sure you get in touch with Rick Hemingway. He is the largest Pro-Matic dealer in the country and can handle everything for you. Rick offers new and pre-owned units and exceptional service. He also has a huge rental fleet, so no job is too big or small. Rick is well known for setting championship-style targets and designing unbelievable courses, so make sure you ask him about his turnkey services for skeet, trap, and five-stand. Contact Rick today at backwoodsquailclub.com or call 843-546-1466. On the show with me today, I have the mastermind behind the Claybot. The company Renair Shotgun Sports started in 2011 with one objective in mind, and that was to be able to move and adjust traps easily so that you can spend more time practicing. What started as a hand crank machine is now one of the most innovative and useful tools in clay target sports and can be found at most gun clubs across America. Please welcome to the show Mr. Casey Renner. Welcome to the show, Casey. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, not a problem at all. I'm kind of excited about this because, as I was telling you earlier, I was in Florida and met your son, Ben, and he was demonstrating the Claybot to me. And I had no idea of what all these things would do. You know, I've heard of Claybot, and I thought that it was just a machine that threw a clay target and you can adjust it. Okay, well, it's a lot more sophisticated than that. And I want to kind of get into all of that because I'm sure there's people out there the same way that I am that think the same way and really aren't sure of what one does. And I kind of want to get into that with you because it's really mind-blowing.
You know, I'll tell you, Justin, how this thing started, and I think maybe it's for everybody to know, it's good how it began. Like you and like everybody else that are in this game, the shooting game, sporting clays, it's a quest that we go on to try to get better. And you know, you start off in the lower classes and you work your way up. And I, like everybody, was just hooked, and I couldn't get enough of it. Again, you heard necessity is the mother of invention. Well, that's what got this thing going. I started, and I was rolling up through the ranks, and I got up to a class, and I was just struggling every time I'd see a Shondell target, and I couldn't hit them. I worked on it and tried different things, and finally I heard that Pat Leske, who's up in our area, was conducting some lessons down at Northbrook. So I booked a lesson, and it was the first big step. I needed to learn how to hit a Shondell target.
Right.
So I went down there, and within a half a dozen shots, Pat had me hitting Shondells. One of the last things that he said was, "Now, Casey, what you have to do, you have to practice." He said, "I want you to practice." And he gave me some instructions. Basically that was the thing. But clubs in my area, they would have one or two great Shondells out on the course. And that was the problem, because you couldn't camp out on a station. And I couldn't sit there and grind all of these different targets in these different trajectories that Pat wanted me to hit. So, yeah. Basically we started off and, I had a couple of old throwers I got from a local club gave me from fixing their bulldozer. And, so I built a basic, simple machine and, that I could turn the trap. I could roll the trap over and I could throw Shondell so I could practice. And, that's what I needed to do. So I practiced Shondells and I took them early. I took them late. I took them in the, yeah. And I got good at it. I got good at it. And, it put me up in the master class and made the All-State team and I was cruising. And then we went up, we always vacation, we went north and we went up there and my son, and I were out in up in the big woods shooting. And my son said, Dad, you got to do something with this thing. This is really something else. And I had never really thought of it that way. I thought, hey, this is a tool for me to get better. And that was it. And, I took it and filed for a provisional patent and it was granted. And I went down to Northbrook and Richie Frizzella and Brett Seibert were down there and I showed it to them. I took it over to Warren Valley and showed it to Steve Knoll and some other people that I really respected and respect yet to this day in the business. And they said, you really got something here. So basically out it went. And and that was just a manual operating machine. And that's what started the whole thing. I started building them in my basement.
All because of a Shondell. Isn't that amazing?
All because of, well, it's Pat Lesky's fault because he's the one that told me how to hit him. Yeah. And then he said, you have to practice. And so the Shondell's what started it off. And then really, to be honest with you, Justin, the shooters, and I couldn't make them fast enough. Sold hundreds and thousands of those things all over the world. Those basic, simple machines, and it was the shooters that would come to me, and we started going to nationals and displaying in the U.S. Open, and so the shooters would come up and say, you know, that manual machine is really great. It's awesome. But you know, I'm sick and tired of having to turn the crank or I'm sick and tired of having to walk up to the trap. Can you do more? Can you make that radio controlled and where we don't have to manually engage the trap anymore, where we can do it from a distance and really the shooters came up with the various suggestions with regards to, can you put a motor on this axis? Can you put a motor on that axis? And all I did was listen. And I just gave them what they wanted. And of course, I thought it was pretty cool too. So it helped.
Now, let me ask you this. How do you know about building stuff like this?
Oh, well, I've always been in that line of work.
Okay.
I'm a hydraulic engineer. That's my background.
Okay.
But constructing things to get a job done is something that I've always done and I truly love doing. And so that basically fell right into my wheelhouse with regards to, hey, I've got to build a machine that is going to allow me to be a better shooter. Mm-hmm. And it's going to, it was right up my alley. That's outside of shooting clays. That's got to be my next favorite thing in the world is designing and building products like this. It's just amazing where it's gone. And I owe it all to this industry and the shooters and the people, and they're all great.
Now, Casey, explain your first one you built that all these shooters had to have. That was you said a crank. How did that work? How did that one work?
Well, what it was nothing more than a simple worm gear configuration with a crank that you spun the worm gear and that turned a shaft. and the trap happened to be bolted onto that shaft. And the patent is basically covers that prior knowledge of the discipline of the way the trap spins, the way the trap turns. And so now what that does for you is it allows you to take a standard trap with a standard target, and it doesn't have to be any specific trap, but you bolt that onto this simple machine, and the patent is granted on the Infinity trap base, but that covers the whole spectrum that goes through the Claybot by the way we control the machine. And so what that does is allows the machine, the trap, to throw a chandelle. You can throw a teal. You can throw a rabbit. You can, and when I say a rabbit, I'm not talking about a rabu. I'm talking about a 108 on the ground. If there isn't a lot of stones and gravel, you can practice rabbit targets as long as the ground is not real harsh.
Right.
So it allows you to do that. And so I'm out there with an old beat up trap and just tweaked it so it could throw these targets. And I'm practicing shots that I would have had to camp out at a stand at a club, which I couldn't do to get better. And it really lent itself to some real neat trajectories because I can throw a curling target. I can throw a chandelle. I can throw a big teal. I can throw, if I want to work rabbits on the ground, if I want. So that's what propelled this to that level. Mm-hmm. And so now you take it and you have this platform, and now you take it to make it radio controlled from a range of 2 miles, and you slap a lifetime warranty on weldments and drives. You stand behind it, and it sells itself, as you saw down by Florida, down at the Gator Cup when you saw it for the first time.
It's just unbelievable that all, you know, and Ben brought up some other things to me that's interesting with, you know, we're talking about clay target sports, but these things are also used in other fields as well, which is interesting to me. He told me there's a forklift attachment you may be working on to attach to these things, and they fight fire. Firefighters are using them.
Well, we've placed various nozzles on some of the different robotic units, and those are some of the offshoots that came from the Claybot series. See, the Claybot, and then we basically you have this. And we'll call it, you know, I always try to explain to customers what it is. And basically, if you hold your hand up and you've got a knuckle. Yep. And that knuckle allows the tip of your finger to turn, spin, twist, do everything. Well, we do the same thing, only attached to a trap. So now you have that platform now. So now you've got a platform that will handle a trap. Well, it's just as easy to put a fire nozzle on it, drive it into a fire, and use it for fighting fires into atmospheres where humans can't go. And so it lends that. And some of the Claybot series, we've got different models, but one of the top sellers we have is the Claybot Mark III. Mm-hmm. And that machine can be amphibious, and it can paddle across the body of water and go into some real bottomless swamp. And you can throw targets from areas that you've only dreamed of because of the amphibious capability of this unit. And with a range of 2 miles, it is a solid unit that responds well to these various harsh conditions that you can run in.
Yeah, that's so it'll launch a target 2 miles away.
Yeah, well the our radios are controlling the Claybot.
Right.
Now that's a good thing you brought up, Justin, because a lot of customers, and we used to years some of the early ones, and we experimented with, we took a channel and we launched targets. The only problem with that is we it brought safety to bear, because if I have a channel, and a channel means I've got a transmitter with a button, and that button can be pushed by a hand, let's say. And if I don't know my controls well, and I hit that button, I can inadvertently launch a target in an unsafe situation. In other words, you could launch a target into a group of people. Bad things could happen.
Right.
So early on, it basically was apparent that, hey, we need to have a wireless control. And there's a lot of them out there. Long range, we use a lot of Neil stuff. Easy pull, BRB, it Promatic, whatever that customer or that club wants to put on, we will put on that specific wireless release system. And that mainly is for safety. So you can drive our bot ranges 2 miles. And a lot of the launches, you know, the controls out there have really gone as well. Obviously you're not going to run a machine 2 miles away because you can't see it.
Right.
And so, yeah. Well, what it does do is between me and the, where the machine is, and let's say I'm throwing a Northbrook incomer and I've got the machine 190 yards out and I've got the spring jacked up and I'm throwing that target. So it dies at 54 yards and I can shoot that long incomer and I can practice that shot. And I've got the ability to have a solid radio control. That's big. That's huge.
Right.
And that's another thing that, again, because of the necessity, we also developed the wireless spring adjuster. And that took this product right over the top. Because now, if I have, and this is how you can sell plate. I don't sell these things. They sell themselves. Yeah. So let's say I've got a crosser, and I've got a 35-yard edgy crosser. It's screaming. I've got max spring on it, and I'm not touching it. Mm-hmm. So with the spring adjuster, what it allows you to do is, and all of the spring adjusters are integral to the Claybot controls, because very, very seldom do we ever sell a Claybot without a spring adjuster. Because we make, obviously, the spring adjuster is another component of this system and how it works. So if I can take pace off that target, let's say I'm having a hard time getting ahead of it. I'm having a hard time seeing it. Now, all I do is I reduce that spring tension from afar. You're not putting a wrench on it. You're not doing anything. And now that target comes out at a slower pace. I can see it now. And now I'm hitting it. And now I'm hitting it with repetitiveness. I've got it. All you do when a customer has done that is you just bump that spring. You bump it back up. And before you know it, within usually 5 or 6 shots, they're hitting that target that they missed because all I've done is advance the spring. That is the beauty of it. And let's say that's an edgy crosser. Well, with a Claybot, I can just ramp that target up and show dome. Or let's say you want to show belly. I can swing it back and throw belly. And or any version of that. And again, you go back to, this is a standard trap with a standard target. This isn't a rocket science. And these are just commercial traps that, yeah, because you've got a lot of customers like Laporte. They'll like Promatic. They want their specific trap. So, hey, we don't make the trap. We make it better. Yeah. And that's the beauty of what we do.
So you can put any model trap on there. It doesn't matter who makes it.
It doesn't matter. Some work better than others, but they all work well. It's strictly up to the customer. We do a ton with Laporte. Don Evans down there. I mean, we ship those wherever those customers may be that prefer Laporte. Rick Hemingway down in the Southeast, just is a human sales machine. I wish I could eat what that man eats. He's selling more Claybots than I've ever seen anybody sell, and he's only had the product line for a month and a half. And the guy's a dynamo. And I think what it is, it was really kind of funny. and I'm digressing a bit, but Rick came down at Nationals and he kept coming around the booth, and I've known Rick for a while, and every time he came, I was with a customer, and every time, and finally we were packing up and he came in and he said, let you know how Rick is, and let's cut this it to brass tack. You know, anyway, he laid out there and he said, what's it going to take for me to, you know, so we had a handshake deal there, and I'm sure glad we did, because that guy is unbelievable. And he's just, and he's so great to work with too. So, you know, and then of course you got Scotty Mann, speaker in the Atlas Trap Company. You know, you get in that Kansas area, they all work. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
All of the traps work so well. I can't say enough about them. And, it's so easy to bolt the trap, 2 bolts, 4 wires. You got a spring adjuster and a trap, and you're throwing targets. And that's another thing. If you got a customer that has a trap ready, I mean, we can sell you the traps. If you got the traps, yeah, that's great. You don't have to buy them. You can take your standard trap, whatever that may be, bolt it on, and you're in business. So that's pretty cool.
So you ship the Claybot to the customer and they can install the trap is how you.
If they wish, a lot of customers, I would say probably 85-90% of the customers, they want turnkey. They want to be able to basically get the machine and drive it off the skid, put targets in it, drive it out in the field and start shooting.
Yeah.
And that's how most of them go out. But you'll have some clubs and some individuals, they may have their own trap. So then we'll send the instructions along and show them how to mount them. And there's not much to it.
Yeah.
But you know, the instruction is there. And then of course they have to put the spring adjuster on their specific trap, because there's umpteen models of different traps and different makes. So we make spring adjusters for all of them.
Okay. So let's talk about the models you offer. I'm looking at your website, mm-hmm. and there's several, there's one with big tires. There's one with little tires. There's a short one. There's a long one. There's one with a cart. I mean, just explain the different models and when you would need certain ones.
Okay. That's a good question. We'll go up numerically, and so we'll start off at Mark II Claybot.
Okay.
The Mark II Claybot is a unit, and it basically has three axes. It's got a base spin, it's got a trap roll, or you know, trap tilt, and it's got a trap spin. So there's three axes, and it is on a 14-by-14-inch square base. That machine can be bolted onto anything. It was originally designed for tower application. And because of the small footprint, you can put a couple of those up on a tower. And along with the spring adjuster, you're no longer having to scale the tower or lower the winch down to get the trap down to make a micro adjustment, put it back up in there only to find out, oh God, I got to bring it down or crawl up there again.
Right.
So that's what the Mark II does. Now that Mark II machine, a lot of customers are buying them and they're using them for their 5-stand application, where they'll permanently mount them on their 5-stand area. And within seconds, they have a new course, because they can easily adjust every trap. And we've got a all-in-one control transmitter where I can have as many as 10 Claybots out there, and I'm using one handheld control to control them. And there's just a rotary dial that you can index each trap, and you can set spring, you can set target angle and trajectory, and it will allow you to do that. So that's the Claybot Mark II.
Right.
But again, customers bolt them to utility trailers. We make a tow behind transporter for them. I've got some guys out west. They mounted up on their mountain cliffs, anchored them into the rock face, and they have them up there. People, you name it, they mount them, Justin. And that's because it's such a small footprint. The Claybot Mark II weighs 150 pounds, and it'll handle the largest trap. It'll handle the 700 target Laporte. It'll handle the larger Promatics. We've had those on there, and it does it with very, very minimal amp draw. And so that's the Mark II. Okay. Mark III is the top of our line. The Mark III is the all terrain. We call it extreme terrain unit. It is an articulated steering unit, similar to a pulp skidder, and that's how it steers. And it's four wheel drive, and it'll crawl right up a wall. It has that much tractive effort and ability. It has flex steering, and the unit is very capable in deep snow, deep marsh, deep water, obviously. And what we do to make it amphibious is we put dual tires on each corner. So now you've got 8 25 by 12 5 by 10 inch. We use bear claw primarily on the amphibious unit. Is the Kenda bear claw tire, and because it grips the water well, and it'll paddle along at a fairly good pace against a headwind to go across the body of water and throw targets across the ditch or wherever, and it'll get there with ease. And we'll couple that up with what we call our power packs, and the power pack consists of a 30 watt solar panel with a regulator, and then there's On all of the Claybots other than the Mark II, we utilize dual batteries, Group 27 deep cycle marine batteries, and we wire those in parallel for a 12 volts. And the Claybot Mark III, and Justin, I've never run it. This is theory. Because I don't have that much time to sit and hold the button down for 7 hours. But the all of the calculations and everything with the amp draw, it'll run a continuous 7 hours before it dies. But obviously, as shooters, what we do is we run out, we'll shoot a quartering shot, then we'll send it over and we'll shoot a crossing. So during these times, obviously, the trap is powered off the Claybot batteries. So that's the Mark III that allows you to have this extreme terrain capability. Now comes along the Mark IV. And the Mark IV is a week up for moderate terrain, we call, and it's on a very, very small transporter. And we do the same thing we do on all of the products. We tilt the trap, we can spin the trap, and then on the Mark IV, you can, and the Mark IV is designed to handle a 400 target machine fully loaded and go up a 30 degree grade. That's what it's designed for. And that, and the beauty of the four is you can get two of them in the back of a pickup bed on a 6.5 foot bed. You can get one Mark III in the back of a 6.5 foot truck bed and still close the tailgate. So that a lot of them are built so they can fit into a back of a pickup or on a smaller utility trailer. So the Mark IV and the Mark III, they do the same thing with regards to trap trajectory, to trap. Basically, it's the platform that'll support any of the commercial traps out there. You put a spring adjuster on it, and you're in business.
So the only difference really is one of them's all-terrain, and the other one is for, you know, just running around a five-stand or running out in the yard. It's not made to go through water and everything. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the Mark IV obviously will not float. The Mark IV is like a skid steer.
Yeah.
And so we sell that generally with Turf Saver tires on it, because if you have lug tires on a Mark IV, it'll tear and rip up sod and things like that. So the Mark IV, we generally will put out with that Turf Saver tire so you can spin it and you're not ripping grass up.
So, Casey, let me ask you a question. Say I buy two Mark IIIs, okay, and I take it out to my private place to go shoot. And I want to shoot 100 rounds of sporting clays. How easy is it for me to get these things set up so that I can do that? Do I have to walk around with them, or what do I do?
Well, first of all, if it's just you and you got two bots,
Yeah.
You don't have to move. You stay right where you are and let the bots do the work and set the targets for you. So, let's say you're gonna work this pair and you're gonna call it stand one. Well, within seconds, you can have a totally different pair and you can call it this stand. If you even want to change the background terrain, that's the beauty of having a mobile bot, because you can go from big sky to scrolling rear, to scrolling, trees in and out of light, things like that. You can work lines, and you really don't have to move. So you don't need a great big footprint to do the practice that you normally would do. So that's going to allow that. Now, what you're getting at is to have the GPS controlled unit. Yeah. And we are getting there. We did have a computerized controlled unit, and it came out and it was working good. And I was getting close to getting it past the prototype stage. The problem I had was it was too user unfriendly. Most of my customers that buy my product are from the age of 55 to 85. And I did not want to give those folks a product where they had to go through different subroutines and different computer control type language that they didn't understand. What they want is something that they can hit a button and it's going to remember with the last trajectory that they set that they can shoot. And that's what it has to be. It's got to be so easy that my dad, who's 92, I can give him the control and he can figure it out and set it up. And that's what it has to be. So basically, it was too advanced for my clients, for my customers to go in and use. I saw nothing but bad at that time. So we went back to the drawing board, and now we're getting there. Now it's to the point where you take this machine and you set a trajectory and you like it. All you do is hit one button that says learn. And now you've learned, let's say, stand one. Stand two is going to be a totally different target, different locations. So when you get to the point of hitting that button two, the machines will move, relocate. Springs are going to advance or change. And right now we're working with Mark IIs and five stand application. So you can have up to 35 different presets. And Justin, if I'm getting too far on this and it's too complicated, just stop me.
No. But
basically, what this will do and what it does is, let's say I got a group of novice shooters and I've got eight clay bots out on my five stand, and you want to have those targets hittable for a novice shooter. So let's say level one through five is fully adjustable. So you're going to hit, and you've come in earlier as a target setter and you've set that set of targets, level one through five for novice shooters. Mm-hmm. And they might go from quartering targets to chandelles to teal, and the springs are going to be relatively light. Now you have a David Radulovich come in, and he wants to have a much more difficult target. Well, then you hit button 28, or you hit the David Radulovich button, and it's going to be a much more difficult set of targets, and you've done that only by pressing one button. And that's what it has to be, and that's where we're going with it. There's not going to be an elaborate learning process where the machine sits and it has to learn its location and angle and all of the different jargon that goes into that type of no, it can't be. It has to be one button hit by a person, and that trajectory is going to be set. That's the beauty of it. Now, and that's what it has to be. It's got to be easy.
Now, do you offer voice activation?
We do. We do. We we offer voice activation for target release, be it the long range system, the Easy Pull system, the BRB, it doesn't matter. And that's why we'll utilize what the market has, and that gives us that ability. And also for safety, it's standalone. So I'm not going to risk launching a target off one of my channels that could be hit inadvertently to have an unsafe situation. Does that make sense? I hope so.
Yeah, it makes sense. I'm just sitting here thinking, how in the world do you figure out how to build this kind of stuff? I mean, it's just like, it seems like it's so simple, but it seems very complicated at the same time.
It is. It is very simple. Justin, you hit the nail on the head. The way I've always brought this out is, like the next level of machines that are coming out, mm-hmm. they've been in prototype now for going on a year now, and they'll still be in prototype before I release them until I'm satisfied. And, we're getting there with the next release. And so that in itself, you have to prove it. You have to prove it out. You have to, any product that, that you bring to market, you've got to put through a battery of tests. Like, take for instance, the Mark III Claybot that came out, before the Mark IV did, obviously. And, so what I did with that machine, and I've got the first prototype. That's my baby. That's the one I use. That's sitting down in my shop right now, and that's what I shoot off of. Mm-hmm. But that machine has seen more abuse than anybody else has ever done. I take that machine, and we've got a ridge behind the house where I live, and I'll run it up the ridge up against an oak tree, and I'll just let it churn. I'll let it dig itself right into the ground and look for something to blow up or burn up, or I've tipped them over. I've rolled them down the hill. I've done everything I can think of that a customer may do. And if it does, what does it take to recover from it? What that means is, okay, I tipped the machine over. What's it going to take to fix it? What's it going to take to get that machine back up on its wheels? And that's why every machine that we build is built with over-the-counter components. There's nothing that is just ran air. Everything we buy is, for instance, you could go down to a Tractor Supply, an automotive shop, in a lot of cases, and you can buy a lot of the same components that we use. We build everything overbuilt. That's why we warranty our frames, our weldments for life, because you have to stand behind it. You have to have something that's going to last. And I've got customers that never bring their machines in. They leave them out year round, and some of them are in very harsh environments. And I've got a customer out in Fargo, and he's got 12 bots, and he's had some very, very early ones. Some of them are eight, nine years old. And I go out there because he keeps buying new machines all the time. So I'll take machines out and install them. And then I always look at the old ones, and they still work. And I know that that's a statement, but I'll go to my customer and just say, I can't believe this. I can't believe these machines are still working, because they've been out in North Dakota winters now going on 10 years. By all rights, nothing should work being out in that weather. And and that's the fun part of it, really, because I look at it as I sell a Claybot to a customer, and I get a chance to interact with the customer when he first calls in. I'll get a chance to interact with him if he has any questions on how to use the Claybot. And if there is an issue, I had a gentleman up in the Northeast where we've got a long range. He drove the Claybot hundreds of yards away. But what he didn't know is there was a pond, and the pond had a cliff that fell down into the pond. And all of a sudden he was driving along, and the Claybot disappeared. And lo and behold, he flipped it over in the pond, and he took his tractor, he hooked a chain on it and dragged it out, and it worked. it were thankfully the trap hit the soft mud and he was able to pull it out without damaging anything. He pulled it out of the bottom of the pond and basically plugged it in, and thank goodness it worked. Everything worked. Now, I couldn't believe it.
These have to be built out of aluminum.
Nope, they're built out of steel, powder coated steel.
Okay.
And they are steel. And
is that for
the
weight?
The reason is this cost. It's for cost.
I got you. Okay.
Aluminum is very, very strong, very light. But if you look at the cost of, let's say, a Mark III, and that's made out of 3x3x8 inch steel primary for the frame, and then of course we use 3/8 plate for everything else. And it's heavy duty, and then we powder coat it, and a Claybot Mark III fully loaded with a trap is going to be over 500 pounds, but with that fully loaded trap on that Claybot, it'll still crawl up the ramps and go right in the back of the truck, and it'll do that without even thinking.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to figure out the weight distribution of this thing. If you've got a loaded down trap on the back of it and you go up a hill, you would think mm-hmm. it would tip over.
Well, you know, that's a very good thought. But if you think about it and you look at where the trap is positioned on the transporter of a Mark III, and then you look at the let's say the two rear wheels. So you tilt that trap and it goes back almost to 83 degrees and you're tilting that trap back and now you're going up a hill. Okay, the moment now is way behind the machine. However, our Group 27 deep cycle marine batteries, which are quite heavy, are way out over the front axle. So that weight distribution works out real well. And now let's say you tilt the trap back up and get it to nest in the Claybot. Now you're well within the confines of the rear axle, so your moment now changes. And so that is the stability. And with the Mark III, you not only have articulated steering, you have articulated suspension. And so you've got four-wheel drive, all the wheels are on the ground all the time. And that in itself, it makes that machine extremely stable.
That's independent suspension.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Independent. It is an articulated,
yeah.
And it's not. You can say, well, if it's IFS, but it is to the point where all the wheels stay in the ground all the time, and like I say, when you have, it's just like when you have a vehicle and you've got a posi. Front and rear, or they used to be called posi, locking differential.
Right.
That's what we have on the Claybot.
Locking differential, yep. So to speak.
Locking differential, each side, each end. Every corner has got a hub, and the Mark III, by the way, does have lockout hubs. So you can disconnect the hubs, and you can tow that unit up to 35 miles an hour. So that's another thing, that the machine is built that well. And every hub has got four tapered roller bearings in it, and it's greasable.
Go over the accessories that you can put on these things. You've already talked about the spring adjuster. What else do you have that will go on to these?
Okay, well, the adjuster is a big one, of course, but the types of charging. You know, we offer onboard charging and the solar panel together, and so either one or both. If the customer wishes, I've got some customers that they'll bring their own batteries. They want to run a gel cell or they want to run an AGM, and that's entirely up to them. If they don't have to buy our power pack, we'll put their batteries on if they wish. But that's another thing. We also have the tow package that goes on Mark III's and also on Mark IV's. And what that does is a lot of customers will buy a Mark III and then they'll buy a Mark II with a tow behind transporter. So what they do is they'll pull the Mark II with the Mark III, take it out into the field and drop off the Mark II on the tow behind. And then I'll remember, they still have a three axis machine there. And then they'll drive the Mark III, and that way they can work their pairs. And if they want to move that Mark II, they just go over. And by tilting the trap back, it lowers the hitch. So you basically drive underneath the receiver, pick it up, and drive away. And then you can drop your Mark II wherever you want if you want to change that pattern. Now, the Mark IV has got a little hitch on the back of the, we call it the wheelie bar. It's a suspension cluster. And then what you can do there is you can also tow other things. Like, for instance, the Mark III, for instance, I pull my rough cut more and I cut my trails out in the marsh for deer hunting. And it works out real well for that, because it goes anywhere. It won't sink. It'll float. Now, granted, the rough cut more doesn't like to float, but you can go through some pretty gnarly stuff with it. And so it does double duty in that way.
So you pull a lawn, basically a lawnmower to cut your grass.
Yeah, I pull a rough cut more. And what's nice about it is I can use that because I don't have to go out there. And obviously, I'm not going to walk through cattails cutting deer trails and trying to cut that down. I would need a scythe to do it by manually. So I mean, I'll drag my mower out there. And I do double duty with my Mark III. And a lot of guys would probably pull it with their Polaris or their, you know, but the three has double duty. A lot of times it'll do a lot more. And that's another attachment. Of course, I've got the duals on mine that when the ice goes out, I will put my duals on because I have a lot of marsh and a lot of water. So then I'll put the dual wheels on so I can float it. And I'll do that. Throws a real nice water rabbit too, by the way. You can tilt that trap all the way back, jack that spring up all the way, and you can throw a 40, 50 yard water rabbit skipping across the water with a standard target, and they never break. So I like that too. Works out pretty good. So no, it works out real decent that way. And then of course, we do have some new models going to be coming out that'll be that are going to be a more severe duty. We also are coming out with another type of application that we're going to call severe duty. And the reason I say that is because we have some areas where customers leave them out in the field and they'll spray fertilizer. And that is a culprit. That is a decisive culprit. Atomized fertilizer. It is a corrosive like you wouldn't believe. So for those, we're going to offer a package where everything is stainless. And obviously the price is going to go up, but we want to offer it for those customers that have the severe corrosive environments that are out there. So that's another package that'll be out and available probably by the third quarter of this year.
Let me ask you this. When is it going to be available to where I can just go walk around and they follow me and set up a stand?
That's coming. That'll be the GPS radio control unit. And basically what it'll do is we'll use the same technology that they use in drones. And this unit is going to be able to follow a person, and it also can do on a preset course. So what it'll do is it'll leave point A, go to point B. The problem is the technology is there, but it has to be, as I said before, user friendly. And I can't have something that is difficult to use. So, picture your dad or your grandpa, and they have got to be able to use it and not have a problem. Mm-hmm. And that's my goal. That's my goal. And I was there. I was there several years back, but it just was too unfriendly for the user.
If I buy one of these things and it's 8 years old, kind of like the guy you were talking about earlier, and I want to upgrade it, is there a way that you can upgrade it without having to buy new stuff? How does that work?
We do it all the time. We've got some of the old Mark I's that are obsolete. And they're out there. Mm-hmm. And because I mean, the controls have come light years from where we were originally. So I've got a customer, he's got an old Mark I. Well, we can upgrade that to current technology. So we'll bring it in. We'll go through everything. We'll basically from bottom to top, go through it, freshen everything up, put new controls in, more to the current date, and ship it back to them. and he's ready to go. And it's not that expensive to do. So the clay bot you buy today, obviously the technology is going to march forward, and everything is backwards compatible. So in other words, we can fit the new technology to the old machines because of the interchangeability components. The things we use are, again, there's no rock. You pull the controls off any playbot and you look at it and say, that's extremely simple. There's not a lot going on there. And the reason for that is, okay, it's a Sunday afternoon. You're out with the family and you're shooting. Let's say something happens and all of a sudden you lose power. Well, I can open up the control box on a playbot, and in 5 minutes, I can tell exactly, okay, this is what's wrong. This is what I need to do. And you can go down to the automotive store, pick up a relay, or you can do some. Basically, you're going to get there so you can keep shooting. And that's it. You don't want to be down because of a specific component.
Yeah. Yeah. Just go down to the local parts store and find what you need and take it back and fix it yourself.
And fix it yourself. Yeah. That's right. And a lot of guys, and a lot of times, thankfully, we don't have to do that because the systems have definitely come a long way from the early systems that we started with back in 2010. Just with technology, radio technology, things like that. And I try to keep everything on a clay bot because right now, we build them here in Wisconsin, and I outsource. I've got a lot of different industries in our area because we had lost a lot of our industry, and there's so many great skilled folks out there that I utilize: laser cutters, machine shops, fab shops, coders, and I think in my own little way, I'm helping our community here. Keep the people out and keep them working. Yep. And, you know, and I'm really proud of that. I really am. And I try to source as much as I can, made here in the States, made in America. My steel, I try to zero in on steel, all made in the U.S. You know, obviously there's things that like the resistor on circuit board here or there, where you know what I mean? Yeah. There are things that could come from offshore, but that I don't know. But the nice thing about it, even down to our radios, and that's the most advanced circuitry we use, is plug and play.
Yeah.
I mean, you basically unplug it, put another one in, plug it in, and you're out and you're going already. So that's the beauty of it. And, you know, like say, for instance, Rick Hemingway, Rick he's got a pretty good storehouse of any part that we may need on any of the bots. And he's got a good team down there. If there's a problem, he'll go out and he'll take care of it. Otherwise I can utilize like Larry Spikes down in Texas for LaPorte. A lot of the Promatic guys. It's just really, really been a great a union, so to speak, that between my company and the, you know, the Rick Hemingways and the LaPorte's and the Promatics and those folks. They've really, really been great to work with, all of them. They treat me very well, and likewise. I've got nothing but great things to say about all of them. And that's for all the shooters out there too. I've been in this business since 2009, and I got to tell you, I have never had a problem with any of the shooters at all. They're just all great to deal with, great to work with. We're all after it for the same thing. We want to try to break more targets.
Yeah. Let me ask you this question. What's coming for 21?
Oh, that's pretty cool. 21 is, we have got a unit that I'm going to introduce shortly. And basically, it again, I try to listen to everybody. And And I got to give credit to Rick Hemingway on this. Rick asked me, he said, can you put together something for rifle shooters? And of course, I'm not a rifle shooter. I've got rifles, but I'm not like some of the guys that go out and shoot the big boar out there. So anyway, we've got a unit coming out. It's going to be armor plated, and it's going to carry different types of targets that the big bore rifle shooter shoots. And this unit is going to be able to drive downrange. And so you don't have to lock the range down when you want to bring the target back. You just start it up and bring it back. You know, this unit also is going to support a playbot machine. So today I can shoot rifle. Tomorrow I can shoot plays. And it's also going to be able to support an archery target for those folks that want to shoot a running deer or a, what the archery folks do. So it's going to be called the Universal Target Carrier. And like I say, I got to give credit to Rick because he gave me the idea that said, hey, if you can build this rifle target, I'll be able to sell it. And of course I heed what Rick said because everything so far he's told me has come true. So I got to definitely believe what he tells me. Yep. And then this unit also has got variable speed. It's got a ton of torque and it's 100% duty cycle. So what that means is you're not going to worry about batteries dying. You're not going to worry about the ability of crawling with it. Let's say I want to slow it down to the speed of the second hand on your watch. You'll be able to do that. You'll be able to speed it up remotely so it'll go as fast as you can run. So there's so much variability in it. It really is going to lend itself to a lot of other things that we're going to use them for. And then that's going to be released. And then there's also another unit coming out and it's going to spin off of the Mark III Claybot. And that too is going to be 100% duty cycle. And that one is going to have a lift option on it, not only to lift your favorite Claybot high into the air and do a low tower shot, but also it's going to have 1,000-pound lift capacity. So you can utilize it for a lift truck. You can use it to power hydraulic attachments. And that's some of the spinoffs. Because a lot of times a customer can't just justify a Claybot. You know, right. I got this and it's only for shooting clay, but I can use it to power my wood chipper. I can use it to power my wood splitter. I can use it to pull my rough cut more. I can use it to plow the driveway. So now we want to make it so the customer can justify it and he can buy it and he can utilize a radio controlled unit, not only for shooting clays, like we say, this morning, you can go out and cut your grass. This afternoon, you can go out and shoot plays off it. And then tonight, you can put the big bore, you can put the armor on it and go and shoot rifles at it. So, yeah, I mean, where it's going, Justin, to be honest with you, I don't know. But I'm just blessed to be here for a while and just enjoy it. And it's just been phenomenal. And I just want to thank everybody out there for supporting the company and me and I hope we've done well by everybody. We've got a lot of customers and a lot of folks, and we're not going anywhere. This is too fun to stop doing. We're really enjoying what we do.
Yeah, I bet you do. Your website's very, very good. RenairShotgunSports.com. It explains your company. All the products are on there. It goes into detail about each one of them with videos and what models you sell and stuff like that, the differences. If you're listening to this and you're interested in one of these things, you got to go look at his website and all your answers or all your questions will be answered by just looking at the website. It's pretty cool. Your son Ben's done a really good job with the videos as well. So, and he's really, he's really good with talking to people too. I mean, he really knows what's going on.
I'll be honest with you, Justin. It was always my dream to have him join, and to have him coming on. And he's a more of a businessman than I'll ever be. But to have his new fresh insight, and it's just it's every dad's dream to be working with his son. Yeah. And I got to say, I really am blessed to be able to have that. And I enjoy every minute of it. And he is doing a stellar job. He's definitely taken the bull by the horns and he's running with it. And everything he does puts a big smile on my face. I really enjoy seeing him flourish in this.
Well, he's doing a good job. And this is unbelievable to me, the Claybot. I just, you know, I've been thinking about this thing for a couple weeks now, and it's just, I don't get why everybody don't have one. And that's you would just think everybody's supposed to have this thing. It's so cool. I mean, it's just, I mean, you know, you're going to have a lift on one. You're going to have armor plating on them. They float in the water. They go over trees. I mean, what? I would just like to have one to drive around, you know?
Well, they are fun to drive around. I will say they are. Sometimes you can go out and to heck with shooting clays. I'm just going to drive this thing, see if I can break it.
Yeah.
And not that I want my customers to do that, but that's what I do. And yeah. You're right. Justin, if you want one, we can make it happen.
That's cool.
I mean, and the thing is, you don't need that. And granted, it's great if you've got acreage and all that. But how I started, I didn't live where I live now. I lived in a city. I belonged to three different gun clubs. In any one night, something wasn't going on. I just take my Claybot out and I'd shoot on the gun club. And if they'd want, I'd pay for the targets. And then the next night, there's something not going over here. I go over there. When I'm done, I just ride my Claybot in the back of the truck, take it in, and then I'd be ready to go the next night. So, you know, you don't have to own a lot of land to enjoy a Claybot.
Enough to drive it around on, and that's about it.
Go to your gun clubs, and again, you're going to patronize them. They're going to be happy, and you're going to get the ultimate practice. You're going to be able to get to definitely work on shots that you couldn't even think about prior, and it is the ultimate practice tool. There's no question about it.
Without a doubt. And it's very neat. I'm so glad I got to talk to your son and you about this. It's unbelievable. I've already said that 10 times, but it is. So,
well, thank you.
But I appreciate you coming on and telling me and everyone else about what these things are, what they're doing and what you're doing and what's coming up for the future. So I think it's really,
I thank
really cool.
you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for the opportunity.
Yeah, man. A matter of fact, I'll tell you this, Rick Hemingway got in touch with me and said, we need to get Casey on the podcast.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
See what I mean? There's Rick again. I tell you, I wish I could eat what that guy eats. I don't know how he does it, but he is a dynamo, man. I'm telling you.
He has it going on, that's for sure. If it's got to do with the clay target industry, Rick Hemingway's name's probably attached to it somewhere. So.
And then the thing is, what I like about Rick is there's no BS. Rick is the salt of the earth, and I've never met anybody that had anything other than that to say. So that's a good attribute to Rick.
That's right. But anyway, thank you for coming on.
Hey, I appreciate everything you've done for me. Thank you again. And if you're at one of the shoots, please stop by. I'd like to meet you in person.
Yeah, not a problem at all.